You're listening to Cross the Border, and we are going to conclude. We're in the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of Yahshua, of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, means they were perplexed about it, they were troubled, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things to the 11, and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to be that to them as idle fables or idle tales, and they believed them not. You notice it was the disciples always seemed to be very dull of hearing. They didn't understand. The Messiah told them things plainly. The fishes and the loaves, the multiplying of them seemed to get away. I mean, if all these things were being done around us, you'd think we'd have a clue after a while that miraculous things were happening and we could expect the miraculous. But here again, even though they heard it from his mouth, and now they're getting eyewitness reports that their words seem to them as idle tales, and they believe them not. Then arose Peter, and he ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Well, if you can imagine that, they're walking along and Yahshua, apparently to them, someone catches up with them and starts walking with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications is these that you have one another as you walk and are sad? So what are you guys talking about? You seem awful sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, Art thou a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he says to them, What things? And they said to him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now we get a clue there of why their eyes were holden and why they couldn't see is they didn't understand. And what was it that they didn't understand? 70 weeks are determined for thy people Israel. And when Daniel heard this from the angel, he was greatly troubled. He loved his nation. It made him ill, because I think Daniel did understand that Israel was at its end in 70 weeks, 490 years from the going forth of the prophet of the decrees. The time for Israel was going to be over in about 500 years from Daniel. And that troubled Daniel greatly. But what we see here is they didn't understand it. What they thought the Messiah was going to come and restore Israel, the exact opposite of what it was actually going to happen. See, because they were looking at a restored physical Israel. And we get clues of that throughout the Gospels, that this is what they believed. And that's perhaps why their eyes were beholden, because they did not understand. They understood enough of the prophecy that they knew the Messiah was going to show up, and they were looking for him, so much so that one brother says to the other, I have found the Messiah. And we just talked about Joseph of Arimathea, how he was, you know, looking for these things. He understood who the Messiah, that Yahshua, Jesus, was the Messiah. So we have these clues all around, but they didn't understand that the 70 weeks, which are determined. And you see, you know, after the fact, well, it's clear to us, but before the fact, yes, it is a little bit vague, isn't it? Even when we read it, 70 weeks are determined for thy people, Israel. I think Daniel understood it because he was getting it from the angel himself, and he knew it. He understood what it meant. But the way it was recorded, well, it's somewhat veiled. But now it's clear. It's always clear after the fact. And I think our Heavenly Father does that on purpose for us so that we can see it afterwards. Because I believe the prophecy is given for our faith. One, so we understand the promises of God. We understand that His Word is true when the prophecy is fulfilled, because we can see it after it's fulfilled. We can see it clearly, or we should see it clearly. There are many people who don't see it clearly because, well, for some reason, their eyes are still darkened, and they have to invent things like gaps and stuff, and because they don't see it. They still don't see it. So if they have to invent things that actually aren't there, and they add to the Word of God, by putting a gap in between 69th and the 70th week and such other nonsense. So we have Yahshua, he catches up to his disciples, and he says, they're telling him now, you know, where have you been? You must not be from around here. And so they start telling about the things, and this is the third day since them, how the chief priests delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. This is the third day since these things were done. Chapter 24, verse 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the things that the prophet has spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, And that's why I say that it was from the beginning. I believe that it was Yahshua himself, their high Adam and Eve's high priest, who stood there and told them about himself when he spoke of the seed of the woman, the prophecy of himself. And if you don't understand that, you go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and watch the short video there. There's a 10-minute video there. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. So go there and watch it and pass it around. Get as many people as you can to watch that short video so that we can get the understanding out there, especially to those that believe what the Messiah is talking about right here, where it says that he, beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, so they're walking along. And he's expounding unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near to the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. So they're getting near the village, you know, where you turn off to go to the village. And he's going to go on, right? And they constrained him. Because, of course, they like to hear what these things that this man, this stranger, is expounding to them. Because these are the things that they were interested in. These are the things that made them follow the Messiah and look for him in the beginning. So they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and broke, and gave it to them. Remember he said that I will not break the bread with you, I will not drink the cup until I come in the kingdom? And he came, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Wow, just the moment, feeling that moment just gives me chills to put myself in the place of, to have walked and heard him expound all these things and not understood, and having him hid his very person from them until that moment. Could you imagine that? Their eyes were open and they knew him, and then he just vanished out of their sight, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. And they told him what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. And as they spake thus, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And there he was. Just think of it. You know, I look forward to this mode of travel myself. I get weary of automobiles, and it will be nice. This is what we have. We have the technology. You talk about technology. Yes, you know, I'm impressed by the new automobiles out there and how comfortable they are and how wonderful they run and how well built they are, you know, because I had to replace the spark plugs. And I remember when I was younger working on any automobile, you'd get covered up to your elbows in grease if you just changed the spark plugs. But now all I got was dust on me when I changed the spark plugs on this newer automobile. So I'm impressed with the technology. But it's nothing. It's nothing compared to the technology that we're going to have. I mean, we want to be somewhere, you know. We don't have to count on a mechanical device that's going to end up in the junkyard one day. We will just be there. We will travel at the speed of thought. Because that's how the Messiah, he vanished. He appeared. He was there, and he wasn't there, and he wasn't there, and then there he was. That's impressive, and that's what we have look forward to. I'm afraid once you get your place in hell, though, for all of you that refuse to enter the kingdom of God, for all of you that refuse to fall on the rock, would rather have the rock fall on you, you're not going to get to experience any of these wonderful things that he has prepared for those that love him. In hellfire forever. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Let's continue. As they thus spoke, chapter 24, verse 36, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and he saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And you'll notice he didn't say blood. So perhaps we will have something else. The light, the very light of God running through our veins. Because life is in the blood, and we have to spill this blood. The seed has to be planted. As he spilled his blood, we have to spill ours. But because his blood covers our sins, we will be filled with light. We will be renewed, and we will have that technology, that travel technology available to us. And we will have forever to enjoy that. And many more wonders that I can't even express. I don't even know all the wonders, but I know the promises of God. And I look forward to every one and so much more. How could anybody walk away from that? And all these atheists and skeptics trying to talk me out of my belief in the things that God has promised me, yet they offer me nothing. Like I said, all they offer me is dirt. Their unbelief in eternity, and that all that's going to happen, they believe to them, is that they're just going to go back to the dirt and be recycled. Now see, they're offering me dirt. My faith in the scripture and the promises of God offers me wonders beyond belief for eternity. Boy, that's a real hard choice, isn't it? What do you say, people? What do you choose? I have dirt in the one hand, and I have forever with wonders and no pain, no sorrow, no sickness, no suffering, just goodness and beauty forever. What do you got to choose? You can choose to continue in your sin. You can have the dirt. Oh, wait a minute. It's not really going to be dirt. It's actually going to be worse. The dirt would be a pleasure compared to what the reality. So you can count on dirt and it's going to be much worse. Or you can live by faith and love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And he has wonderful things prepared for those who love him. So he continues here. He said, "For spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Have you here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took and he did eat before them. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. See, they knew the scriptures. They read them. They studied them. And that's why I tell you, read. You may not understand, but he can give you understanding by his Holy Spirit. You got to fill the well up in order to be able to draw the water out. So he said, he opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that the repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And so it has been. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. So there we have the account that the Messiah, he says, these are the words, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We have the winding up, and of course, the account is that he was there. And like I said, we get a condensed account here in Luke. He showed himself to many others. Many people saw him, not just the 12. We get a condensed account here in the gospel according to Luke. But we know that many people saw him. It says that, that he continued with them as far as, where was that at? Oh yeah, as far as Bethany. And in that time, well, they learned a lot of things from them. He opened up the scriptures. And even today, still today, and it started there in Jerusalem, of course, beginning at Jerusalem, they still had to fulfill Daniel's 70th week in Jerusalem. And then after the 70th week was fulfilled, some 3 to 3.5 years later from the event that here, where he where he ascends, they preach the gospel in Jerusalem and in Israel. And then after that, the gospel goes to the nations. And that's why we have the New Testament, of course, in the language, in the international language, because remember, 70 weeks are determined for thy people Israel. So up until that time ended, the oracles of God, the word of God, was committed to the Hebrew people. So we had it in the Hebrew, we had it from the Hebrew people, transmitted in the language of the Hebrew people. But after that, we have our record in the international language. And perhaps that's why English, being the international language today, we see that we have the Word of God transmitted from the Greek into the King James and the Authorized King James Version in English, the new international language, and from that language then being translated into many other languages by the English-speaking people, and the gospel continuing to go to the world in the international language. This is an understanding, a revelation that I feel the Heavenly Father has given me, and we have the witness of history itself and the reality of creation today, also the witness of Scripture that the time for Israel was determined by the 70 weeks after which the gospel went to the nations, of course, beginning at Jerusalem, 70 weeks having been fulfilled, and I believe that was signified at the point where Stephen was martyred, and of course Paul was chosen as the apostle to the Gentiles, and that work was carried on there. So we have it, and we're running out of time, right on time. So I bid you all to repent, for the kingdom is at hand. The message continues today that began there at Jerusalem and throughout Israel and then went to the nations and continues its work until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, when that stone that was cut without hands becomes a great mountain and fills the earth. We have time. Cross the border into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and obtain eternal life. There is absolutely nothing in this lifetime that is more important than that, to secure your position in His kingdom for eternity. Well, as always, in everything you say and everything you do, bless His holy name. Hallelujah.